The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, continuing our study of this book. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to today continue the theme of being called. And we're called to understand the ministers. Aren't preachers just strange? There you go. I mean, how is it that you can walk into a room of 50 people and you can pick out the preacher in that room? And I'm not talking because he's wearing a suit and tie. I don't know what it is, but you walk into and you pick them out. I think it's because they're like Moses. They've been with the Lord so much that they just kind of glow. That's the one I'm sticking with anyway. Others might say, no, preacher, you know, y'all are just strange. And you're able to easy to pick out of a crowd. I don't know what it is, but you know, preachers are different. And that's what this text is about, preachers, or specifically ministers today. And it's about understanding ministers. But I also want to remind you that this doesn't just apply to ministers. It applies to all of us because all of us have a ministry, okay? So I want you to understand the ministry and understand your responsibilities as well as my responsibilities in the ministry. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 starts, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Again, let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you lead our prayer? Amen. You may be seated. The first part, the first few chapters of this book of 1 Corinthians was written because of preacher problems. Okay? And the problem of preacher problems was not created by the preachers, believe it or not. It was created by the people who had been saved and or taught under a particular minister. And because they had been saved or taught under a particular minister, they considered themselves better than someone else who had been saved or and taught under another minister. That's why in the earlier chapters we read that the attitude of the church was, "I'm of Paul," in this group, and another group over here would say, "Well, I'm of Apollos," and still another group over there would say, "Well, I'm of Cephas," and then there was that ultimate above everybody group said, "Well, we're of Christ." And it became so bad that the church was literally splintered. And Paul is trying to set that in order. Now, as we look, and he sets this in order by telling them how to judge a minister. Now, as we read today, we get the idea that it's not our place to judge a minister. However, when I say judge a minister of the gospel, I'm talking about pastors, I'm talking about associate pastors, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers, I'm talking about those in ministry, okay, in ministry positions. And it's not our place to judge them as successful or unsuccessful, as acceptable or unacceptable, okay? But let me qualify that statement. It is our job, your job, and my job to identify false teachers, okay? You have the responsibility to identify false doctrine, and when a man preaches that which is not, or that which is contrary to the scripture, then you have the responsibility to say, "Whoa, no, that is not acceptable. We're told in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Just because a preacher says something does not make it so. You only accept that which comes from the Word of God. You have that responsibility. But beyond that, we can be too hard on a minister, on a Sunday school teacher, on a pastor, on a deacon. And we can be not hard enough. You know, our judgment is based upon personal likes and dislikes. Don't get me wrong, it's good to appreciate a minister. But it is certainly not good to be a preacher follower. Okay? I want you to like me. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Christ and us follow Christ together. All right? So let's look at Paul. Let's look at what Paul says about examining understanding the minister. He starts there in verse 1. "Let a man so consider us." And what he's saying, as you form your opinion of me, here's what I want you to consider. Number one, consider that I have been entrusted. Consider that your Sunday school teacher has been entrusted. Your associate pastor, Brother Michael, has been entrusted by God Himself. Boy, that's a pretty big trust, isn't it? Been entrusted by God Himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, there in verse 1 that Paul wrote. Now that word servant, I want you to understand, it is a special servant word, okay? It is not the Greek word servant, doulos, which is just a regular servant, okay? A regular slave. This is the Greek word is a parates, and that kind of a servant was a specially trusted household servant that carried out the orders of his master. I mean, he was the one that the master would have went to. He was the one that would have been a court officer or a Sanhedrin officer or a synagogue attendant. And that emphasis, the emphasis of that position was on that position. I mean, it was a highly respectable position. And so as Paul says, look at me as a servant or an apparates of Jesus Christ. He's saying, first of all, I want you to understand about me that God has entrusted me with a great responsibility in His work. That's the first thing you need to understand. The responsibility that goes with ministry. Second thing you need to understand. Been entrusted as a steward of the mysteries of God. Now we know what a steward is. A manager or a person put in charge of an estate. And he cares for the estate of his master. And his responsibility, now grab this, his responsibility is to his master. He's always looking out for the interest of his master. He may not please other servants. He may not please other household members. But he must, above all, please his master, because that's the one he's going to give an account to. That's what a steward is. And third, I want you to understand the standard of the master. The standard of the master. He said it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. That word required means sought for. This is what the master is looking for in his steward and in his servant. He expects him to be dependable or trustworthy at all times. He expects to be able to count on that individual. Now, I want you to just chew on this a while. Like I say, this is he's talking about preachers here, but we can also apply this to any ministry field. So we all have this responsibility as children of God. How can we be dependable? Well, number one, we take a stand when a stand is needed. That we stand for the Word of God. We're coming to an age where sometimes it bugs me. Well, it often bugs me that we forget to stand today. that we hide in the corner. We're like Peter at the crucifixion or at the trial of Jesus Christ. He wanted to remain anonymous. He didn't want to stand out. I want to tell you today, we need people, ministers of the gospel, teachers of Bible classes, deacons. We need servants who are willing to stand out about their stand for Jesus Christ. It always just really bugs me as I hear preachers and pastors and ministers and Bible teachers preach the truth of the gospel and the word of God. And after they preach the truth, they come under fire for what they preached, and then they back up and apologize. There is no apology for the word of God. It is the word of God, and it is always right, 100%, whether you agree with it or whether I agree with it. It does not matter. It is always accurate. And we have a responsibility to stand for the truth of that word. We have a responsibility to work when work needs to be done. You know, I have known people that, and probably been in times in my life where I was not as dedicated as I should have been. But when you have a ministry, you have a great work, and it requires your work, your effort. Do you remember back in the old days where when we had Sunday school, Bible classes, and people would get up and open the book and read a part? You remember that? Was that not the most boring thing you've ever sat through in your life? You know why we did that for so long? Because we didn't want to spend the time that it took preparing for that class, studying for that class. Whatever we do in our ministry, whether we're a pastor, you know, a pastor shouldn't lay around all week. Never come into the church and study and work and visit. A pastor shouldn't do that. He has a responsibility to get up and go to work and do the very best that he could possibly do. But you know what? Deacon's the same way. He is a minister. He is a servant. He has the responsibility to minister. We, as children of God, it is demanded of our master that we work and put forth the effort in the ministry into which we are called. I don't want to is not an option. Can you imagine, as a servant of Jesus Christ, called into a ministry and God leads in an area and says, I want you to do this? Nah, I don't think so. Can you imagine on the road to Damascus when the Apostle Paul was called and he saw that light and he hit his knees and Paul said, oh, who is it? Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. And then Paul says, what would you have me do, Lord? If Jesus had said, get up, go into Damascus, and I'll show you. What if Paul had said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not a servant. That's not a steward. You see, Paul is bringing a church, and as we study, this study is going to get meaty, all right? It's going to get meaty, and we're starting to get into the meat as we realize the responsibility that we have toward our Savior, toward our Master, as we realize that we are a servant, an entrusted servant, a steward held responsible and accountable for what we do or what we do not do. We have been entrusted with the work of the ministry. And oh, what a great trust it is. It should make you feel, fill you with a godly pride, knowing that the Lord has entrusted you with His kingdom and with His ministry. What a privilege. Remember, you're a servant, a steward. And there is a standard, and that standard is dependability. The second thing, let's talk about being elevated as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, First thing I want to talk to you about is judgment, specifically public judgment. How do people look at you? How should we view ministers of the gospel? Paul said, it is no small thing that I should be, it is a small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. That sounds a little uppity, doesn't it? That sounds a little, you know. But that word small thing is a unique word. And it's used to compare two things. It's like we would compare day versus night. Okay? And Paul is making a comparison. A comparison that's comparing man's judgment of how I'm doing versus God's judgment of how I'm doing. And Paul says, when man judges me, it's not that big a deal. But when God judges me, it is a big deal. Listen, sometimes we get too bent on popular opinion. You ever worry too much about what others think? Oh, I have. I have worried myself sick at different points in my life, thinking people were upset with me and they didn't have a clue that I thought they were upset with me, you know? Worried about what people would think. Worried about, do they like how I'm pastoring or do they like how I'm ministering? And then I figured out, and don't take me wrong, I don't want to be disliked by anyone, but the one that's really, really important is the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you worry about what he thinks of your ministry? Do you worry about what he thinks of the way that you're serving or teaching your class or being a deacon or ministering in your family? Do you worry about what Jesus thinks about what kind of dad you are to your children or husband you are to your wife? Do you worry about what Jesus thinks? And see, that's the important part, because that's who you're going to be accountable to. You can't trust human judgment. Why? Because people are fickle. They will like you today, and tomorrow they cannot stand the ground you walk on, and it's all because they feel different tomorrow. You ever known those people? You had to test them out to know what kind of mood they're in. Come on, men, you know what I'm talking about. When we come home and we raise the white flag in the door to see if we get our hand shot off before we stick our whole body in, you know. Church members can be the same way. Okay? I mean, very fickle. Some little something can happen. They can praise you today, and tomorrow, boy, they can hang you. I mean, look at Jesus Christ. What, 3 days? 3 days before he was crucified, he had his triumphal entry, and people were claiming, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" and laying palm leaves down as he entered the city of Jerusalem. A short time later, they're crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be upon us!" Why? Because people are fickle. You can't trust them. You can't. Never put too much stock in what somebody else says about your ministry, whether good or bad. Okay? Another place you can't trust judgment is personal judgment. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We're our own toughest critic. Paul, I like the way he said, you know, it's no big deal for me to be judged by you. He said, man, I don't even judge myself. Which that also sounds kind of arrogant. But I don't think arrogance was a factor here. Paul was just being honest. You see, Paul couldn't judge himself without partiality. I mean, let's face it, when we judge ourselves, we look with blinders on, do we not? Paul said, I don't know of anything that I've done or am doing wrong. But that doesn't justify me. Man, I can look at myself and I think, you know, I'm doing all right. Am I? we see what we want to see. But also, sometimes we're our biggest critic. And we get to that point where I just can't do anything wrong. Or I can't do anything right. I can't, you know. And we're so critical that we tear ourselves down. And some people are really bent in that direction. But you know what? You look at people like Paul. Let's just take a moment. Let's evaluate the Apostle Paul and judge his ministry. When he first began his ministry in Damascus, do you realize they had to smuggle him out of town by letting him down over the wall at night so he could escape because people were waiting at the city gate to kill him? Sounds like a success at Damascus, huh? When at Antioch, he went to Antioch, he was expelled not only from the city, from the region. Said, don't you even come close to this area. Don't you ever come back. He fled to Iconium. Or he fled from Iconium. Because people were planning to stone him. In Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. Now, is this a great ministry or what? He had a disagreement with his fellow missionary Barnabas over the young man John Mark, and it became so heated that he split ways with Barnabas. Nobody can get along with the man. Found a new partner, though, old Silas, and here they go. They go over to Philippi, and they're in Philippi a little while, and they're beaten, whipped, thrown into prison. Spend the night in jail. It's getting better, isn't it? Left Thessalonica at night because he caused a riot. He caused another riot in Ephesus. Oh, but Brother Doug, he was a good preacher. Was he? Was he really good? I mean, he was preaching one night, and he got so long-winded that Eutychus was setting up in the third story. And he listened to it, stood it as long as he could, and he fell asleep and fell down to his death. Yeah, Paul was an exciting, great speaker, wasn't he? He could put anybody to sleep. So if you go to sleep on me, I take it as a compliment. Paul did it. Paul was kind enough to raise him back from the dead, though. But let me tell you, if you go to sleep on me in the balcony, you're on your own. We'll call 911 because I don't have that raised from the dead power, okay? Paul never pastored a mega church. Trouble followed him everywhere he went. And if you were to evaluate his ministry, if he were to evaluate his ministry, you'd just have to say it was an absolute and utter failure. But you know what? He didn't have the whole picture, and we didn't have the whole picture. I mean, look at what we have today because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We have God, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament was written by him. I would say that's an outstanding success, wouldn't you? I mean, we have direction on how to conduct ourselves in church because of the writings of the Apostle Paul. We have encouragement as we see a man such as the Apostle Paul and the things that he went through, and he just kept pressing toward the mark. And so we're encouraged to keep pushing and going forward. See, today we say, yes, man, he had an outstanding ministry. But if you'd evaluated him back in his day, it just wouldn't have. No church would have had him. You see, public judgment and personal judgment is not worth a lot. And it can't be trusted. What we have to remember is that we are involved in a profitable partnership. Okay? See, here's the good part of our ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Here's the good part of our ministry. We be faithful with what God has entrusted us with. Whether we're a pastor, whether we're a teacher, whether we're a deacon, we're associate pastor, we are to be faithful. We are to plant. We are to water. But it's God that makes it worthwhile and gives the increase. Never judge yourself, nor judge others before time. And that time is when Jesus Christ comes back. You know, people are different, aren't they? We went last night. Beth and I were asked to visit a church in Boxside. Just had a wonderful time of fellowship, but on the way home, I made the comment to Beth, you ever notice you don't travel very far in how different people are in different places? And that's neither right or wrong, good, bad. It's just different. You know, you notice the difference. And I guess that's another reassuring way of knowing you're where you're supposed to be is when you have such a love for your home church and your church family, you know. But pastors and people are different. But grab a hold of this fact. God has a ministry and a place for everyone. Okay? He prepares churches for pastors. He prepares pastors for churches. He prepares deacons. He prepares teachers. He prepares fathers and mothers and ministry leaders in the different areas. But there's a ministry place for everyone. Never forget that as a minister in your area of ministry, your success or failure does not depend upon how people view you nor how you view yourself. It's how God views you. That's why on occasion it is good to say, Lord, how am I doing? To just steal away and get alone and say, God, show me. Expose the wrong ways. Because it's God to whom we're accountable. Then finally, ministers and elevating ministers. There's coming a day when it's going to be worth it all. And that day is when we're judged by the right judge. Paul said in the last part of verse 4, he said, he who judges is the Lord. Why? Because he's the master of the minister. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, finally there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Note the righteous judge, he said there. You know what's wonderful? When Jesus judges, he's going to be right. It's not going to be a biased sentence. It's not going to be favored because of, you know, who our daddy was. Listen, we're going to be judged, and it's going to be judged right by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to be judged at the right time, at the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. Jesus is coming again. In the book of Revelation, he said, my reward is with me. There is a day of accountability, but it's going to be at the right time. It's like I told you before, when all is said and done. You know what's amazing? Ministries don't die. And I say that because you have men like, well, you know, one of my, I guess, heroes of modern day was Adrian Rogers. You know, a couple years ago he passed on, and boy, his preaching ministry still being broadcast On and on. You know what? People are still being saved by hearing his preaching. And his ministry is going on. Don't know the far-reaching effect that he's going to have even after his death. You know what? Same holds true for you and your ministry. I'm pastoring here today, but I know the fact that, you know, I'm not going to be Pastor Victory Baptist Church forever. I would love, and I hope the Lord leads me here for the next 30 years. And then when I'm 80, 90, whenever, and then he calls me home. But I don't want my ministry to end then. I want the people that I've taught to carry on teaching other people. And not just pastors, you as parents. Do you realize you're ministering? And you're not just ministering to your child. You're ministering to your child who will minister to their children, to their children. And the things that you do will affect generations to come, you know, for ages to come. I mean, it carries on. And when Jesus Christ comes back, all the information is going to be in, and we're going to be judged and declared acceptable or unacceptable. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about our ministry. After all the information's back. Remember, what you do is important. And not only are you accountable, but you're affecting the lives of people in ages to come. The righteous judge, the right time, the right reward. I love the way he put it. He said there in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before time until the Lord who comes will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. He's going to illuminate the things of darkness, making those known, those things which were not able to be known, revealing the counsels of the heart. I've often looked at people and said, why did they do that? Not having all the information. I've also been as a pastor just knowing that people look at me and think, I don't get it, Brother Doug. See, there's things I couldn't tell them. You know? Things that I had to keep to myself. And I know they would look at me and say, that just don't make any sense. There's coming a day when it's all going to be revealed. All that information is going to be revealed, and it's going to make sense. That's why he did what he did. That's why he ministered the way he ministered. That's why he ministered to that family in that special way. And the judgment is not going to be skewed. This is the encouragement for the minister of God. And I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about those who are ministering. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that encouraging? As a minister, we all have those times where we say, why did I do this? Why? And we all have those times where we want to throw up our hands and go, don't do it. Don't do it. Because what we're going through today, as faithful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to carry with us for eternity. Be faithful. Be a trustworthy servant. You are accountable. Now, you're here today, and you're not a servant because you're not a child of God. Let me offer you this. You need to be saved. Short, sweet, and to the point. Okay? You need to be saved. You need to be saved right here, right now, today. Because you don't know where you'll be an hour from now. God has given you this chance. He's brought you to this service because He cares enough about you to save you. And if you've never made that commitment to Christ, why not today? You see, the problem is you're a sinner. That sin has separated you from God. And if you don't take care of that sin, you're going to be eternally separated from God, spending eternity in hell. My friend, it does not have to be so. Jesus Christ died for you. He took your punishment to give you His righteousness. Now what are you going to do with what Jesus did for you? Today, we're told in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. Or you're a breath away from an eternity in hell. The choice is yours. Will you be saved today? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege of worship. We thank You for Your goodness toward us. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege to serve You. Who are we, Lord, that You're mindful of us? But You have entrusted us in different ministry positions as pastors, associate pastors, deacons, Bible teachers, parents, friends. Lord, we pray that You'll keep us mindful and accountable of our ministries. Help us to be faithful and dependable to You in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.